Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. The Sims Spotlight brought to you by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com. I have to say, I have missed Phil. It was two straight weeks. Didn't get a chance to talk to Phil. He joins us during the football season all the way through the Super Bowl Wednesdays at 8 a.m. And we got him here. And then I get to see him in person in about a week from now. Next Thursday, he will be at Teller's with Boomer and me. And we will be doing the When Legends Meet, when Boomer and Phil, the legends of the NFL meet at Teller's, and you can go to their website to buy tickets for this event. It'll start at 6:30 on, January 16th, Thursday at Teller's Next Door, an amazing event space. That's going to be a lot of fun. Phil, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Gio. Boomer, good to talk to you guys. And Gio, when we do that next week, I want a chair right next to you.
I've already requested that I'm on the other end of the stage, so we are working on that.
I think I heard you say that. That's just not going to happen. Okay.
I got to tell you, man, it will be a great night. Teller's Next Door is an awesome, awesome, intimate experience event space. They did a great job last year. Bring your appetite, man, because there's lots of food, lots of drinks, and we're going to have lots of fun. And certainly being out in near my hometown, it's a big deal for a lot of people that you're coming.
Well, good. Well, that's nice of you to say. I'm looking forward to it myself. And I woke up this morning, did a few things, so let me turn it on, see what you guys are talking about. And I thought I was listening to, you know, somebody reading the National Enquirer. Well, this guy's sleeping with her and this. And I was like, what? Yeah. So I'm a little behind schedule here. I got to read about all this that's going on. Jason Whitlock.
Yes.
Boomer, did we ever have him on the show on Inside the NFL? Were you there?
I was not there when he was on. Very controversial lightning rod figure,
yes,
in the world of sports for his takes. But, you know, he's separated himself for his takes, and I give him a lot of credit for that. And I think sometimes his takes were probably a little bit too much, especially around 2020, 2019.
Yeah, and Phil, one of his recent takes was that he felt it was going to be too difficult for him to work with Joy Taylor on the same show because she had peanut butter skin and big old hands.
I heard you say that this morning, and he said that, so okay.
Yeah, he said that, yep, that's right. So, yeah.
Well, you know, the one thing, I used to watch him a little bit when he first left Fox or whatever, and he went and had his show, because he would interview some, you know, interesting people. But, it was always on the edge, controversial, whatever, so he weighs in on everything, and he's got a great platform, I guess, to do it, so...
Yeah. All right. So Brian Daboll and Joe Shane retained.
Yes.
What'd you make of John Mara and how he explained it to the media and his fans after he made the decision?
Well, I think he was right to the point. He's tired of losing. The fact that, he just wants to see more. And I think the big thing is so much has been written about it and talked about. I think a few weeks ago I finally came and I thought I realized, just listening to everything and reading, that they would be back. So maybe that's the best way. I would think that's the best way to try to get off the good start next year, keeping the same group together, and see what they can do in free agency, and, of course, see what they can do in the draft.
You know, we always try to predict the future, and I look at their schedule, their home schedule next year, and every team's going to be different next year. You just never know which team stays healthy, which team doesn't, and teams fall apart in certain points of the year, and if you're lucky enough to catch them, you know, at that point in your schedule, maybe you win a game or two that you may not be expected to win. I really want to know who is going to be their quarterback, and let's say they have their choice of Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward. Somebody asked me to ask you about Jalen Milroe. Are these guys, in your eyes, are they worth a top five draft pick?
Well, you know, it's too early to say. I can't answer that and be honest. I can just say what I've seen so far and watching them. As we judge quarterbacks and we think about all the quarterbacks that have been drafted one or two in the draft right off the top, it's hard to complain against what we've seen going up to that. And you could see that they would transition, you would hope, to the NFL really well. And I would say right now, no, I don't know if I would draft either one with the first or second pick of the draft. And I think we'll find that out. And once this playoff stuff, and I'm going to start doing a little bit of it, watching more of them just to see if it changes my first initial thought, which it usually does. But, I think the Giants, it's going to be get a young quarterback and get a free agent somewhere. I believe they're going to look for two new quarterbacks. You know, I don't know. When they re-signed Drew Lock, are you happy enough with what you saw with Drew Lock that he could be the backup to somebody next year?
But the backup to a young quarterback that they draft high and then they start the season with a young quarterback with this team?
Yes.
I don't know. You know, Phil, like if they're 1-7 after 8 weeks, what the hell do you think this is going to be like around here?
Well, it's going to be worse than it was this year. So, yes, I think everybody knows that, and John Mara understands that, and I'm sure he thought a long time about this. And this, I would think, too, it does give them a better chance of reorganizing during the offseason, doing what they need to do in the draft. They're going to have some money to spend to go out and get a few free agents, and hopefully the team would get off to a good start next year and really get some positive vibes going in that building.
Hey, you know Kyle McCord, the quarterback at Syracuse, right?
I do, yes.
Right, all right. So he started out by going to Ohio State and then transferred to Syracuse.
Right.
All right, so a lot of people have called us because locally he's a local kid, he's a Jersey kid and everything else. Your assessment of what kind of player you think he could be at the next level?
Well, listen, that's not – it's. I try to refrain from that a little bit because I've actually been watching him throw and my son's worked with him, and I have too many, many times over the years. And when he was in high school, not as much through college because these kids are always at the school that they go to. I mean, it's around – it's year-round just about. But he's definitely an NFL pocket quarterback. Throws the ball really well, as everybody likes to say, really spins it, can anticipate, play the position like you would expect really a veteran to play in the NFL, Boomer. So the big question about him will be, is there enough mobility to drive him up high in the draft? Or, you know, will that hurt him? Which it could, but the throwing talent is real. And you saw it when he played this year, got a chance to throw the football a lot up in Syracuse. My gosh, a lot's an understatement. But he did a great job, I'll say that.
Boomer and Geo with Phil Simms on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. You said a little while ago that the Giants are going to be looking for two quarterbacks. I agree. I think they're going to try to do what the Minnesota Vikings did this past year, not knowing it was going to work out the way that it did, which you bring in a veteran, someone who's bounced around like Sam Darnold, and then you also draft a quarterback. Now, J.J. McCarthy got hurt and out for the year, so there was no controversy when you're going to put the young guy in, and also Sam played great, but all right, let's say that they do draft a guy. It doesn't have to be one or two. Maybe they trade back or later, and they're going to groom a young quarterback. Which of these quarterbacks that are going to be available, you know, Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, Sam Darnold, is there one out there that you think would fit the Giants to be that stopgap guy in the meantime?
Well, thinking about Kirk Cousins, I would say no. You know, I just don't. What I saw this year, ending with the Atlanta Falcons, his physical abilities, playing up here in the cold weather, the windy weather, or Giant Stadium sometimes, that's tough to do. His arm didn't look, you know, his arm, I noticed a difference in his throwing big time this year. It just wore down. When it wore down fast. And he threw footballs that were, you know, not pretty. And, you know, Kirk Cousins, that's the one thing he could do. He was a very good thrower of the football, extremely accurate, and he lost both of those things playing for the Atlanta Falcons. So that wouldn't excite me. I would say this, Gio, who's going to be the head coach? And once we find that out.
I'm talking about the Giants. You know, I'm talking about Brian, you know, Brian Daboll being the head
coach. Oh, I'm sorry. I got wrong there.
Yeah.
No, I would think it's still Kirk Cousins. I doesn't fit the Giants either, in my opinion.
Well,
I think Brian Daboll has said it.
The Giants or the Jets.
Or the Jets.
Right,
no,
exactly.
I don't think he fits either one of these teams.
I mean, but who, like, what, you know, is Russell Wilson going to be out there? I mean, like, all these types, like, these are the types of guys. We're talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. We're talking about Marcus Mariota. You know, people like that. That comes,
okay.
And you're not going to get Joe Milton III, who you and I were just, like, blown away by on Sunday watching the game.
Right. Well, you know, if you watch Joe Milton, started out at, I'll never forget, he was at Michigan. He comes in the game as the second quarterback or whatever, and after about three throws, here's what I said about him. I go, nobody can catch these footballs. He throws it so hard, there's no way you can catch it at the college level. Now, it's a good thing in the pros, and if you follow him up in New England during preseason, the team was crazy over him because every day he goes out there to practice and just it's the skill or the talent is undeniable. And he played very well in the preseason, too. And it was kind of a thing. I actually did some podcasts and go, what was New England thinking? You draft the guy with the third pick of the draft, and then you bring in this physical phenom that he's going to be matched up against. Well, we found the answer. Drake May answered all those questions. But Joe Milton is not Anthony Richardson. He's a much, much more polished passer than Anthony Richardson. So I heard you guys talking about it a little. In a couple years, 2 or 3 years, maybe next year, whatever, he's going to be a guy somebody's going to throw some draft picks up out there. Whenever he becomes a free agent himself, he'll find himself on another football team.
You know, the interesting thing, the Patriots did exactly what the 49ers did the year they drafted Trey Lance and Brock Purdy. So, you know, it's been done before. And then also, I think it was RG3 and Kirk Cousins for Washington.
Yes.
So it's definitely been done before, and I think it's smart. I think you got to just keep in firing shots on goal, unless, of course, you're the New York Rangers and you don't shoot on goal.
Oh, here we go.
But, let me
ask you guys here. I've been listening to about the Jets and Rex Ryan. Gio, would you be happy if the Jets made Rex Ryan the next head coach?
No, because I want John Gruden. Obviously, Vrabel was a better option, but they're not going to get him. But it needs to be a guy like that. So it's at first I thought it was a terrible idea, but the more I'm thinking about the other candidates and the first time head coach that's a coordinator, I don't want to come here because that person will fail. Then I start warming up to the idea. I want someone like Rex more than I want actual Rex. To be happy, I wouldn't say yes. I would not be happy, but I'd be interested for sure.
Well, it does interest me. It really does in this, for the fact that I look at it this way. He's been up there at ESPN doing his work every week and, you know, and watching football from afar and seeing everybody and how it works out. And I'm sure, you know, he's sitting there and going, he's getting older, of course. He is a smart guy. I never think he's not smart because he is. And he goes, man, I just want one more chance. What I've learned here, thought about myself, what I could do, and I've been to the Jets, and I think that goes through his mind. You know, Boomer, you and I, if I could go back and play again and be, you know, healthy and all those other things, of course I would go, man, yeah, I'll go back. What did I learn? What have I learned since I've been out? All those things. And I think that's what Rex, it wouldn't bother me if the Jets did hire Rex Ryan again. I don't think they will, but I do think there's a chance. But I think it would have a chance of working out. And the big question would be, what quarterback would he want to have if he did get the Jets job.
Well, this is why I said to Gio, and I have been saying to him, if I speculate and they do hire Rex and they keep Phil Savage as their GM, he's the interim GM right now. So Phil and Rex have a relationship back in their days in Baltimore. Rex Ryan is going to want a quarterback that he can win with. And I think that he is the only personality on any of these lists. Maybe Mike Vrabel, but I think we all believe Vrabel is going to go to New England. Rex Ryan is the only guy on any of these lists that has the bombastic personality to be the alpha male in the room and tell Aaron Rodgers, all I want you to do is play quarterback. I got everything else. I'll deal with everything else. You just tell me that you are going to play quarterback and you're going to follow my lead as opposed to me following your lead. I'm not giving you everything you want. I'm giving you a chance to be great again, and I want to do that. And I kind of feel like that's the only personality out there under those circumstances. Phil Savage, Rex Ryan, and Aaron Rodgers. Can you see that?
When I look at it, just to say this, Rex Ryan with Aaron Rodgers, it doesn't mix to me because they have the same beliefs on what you want to do on offense and all that. Here, I actually thought about this. I think yesterday I said it to somebody. I go, if Rex Ryan did get to become the head coach, of course, he's going to get a new staff and a new coordinator. And I don't know. I just said, man, Rex Ryan and Justin Fields. You know, I don't know what Justin Fields' contract status is, if he could be free after the year's over. But that's what he really wants to do. He wants to smash you in the face on both sides of the football. He wants to run it, manage the game, which he did with the Jets and had some success. Of course, he had Mark Sanchez there. But, you know, Justin Fields, I will say he's got great talent, a good arm. I'm not going to say he's a polished NFL thrower, but he's good enough to get it done. But that's what I think
You think Garrett Wilson would be happy with that?
No, maybe not. But, you know, Justin Fields, if you watched him when he played with Pittsburgh, he still got the football down the field. And, you know, they were a little, in my opinion, they were way too conservative for him. And when I watch them play and I've watched their games against teams here in the last few weeks, come on, you can't be more conservative on the offensive side. They're just not giving the quarterback enough chances to really show off what they can do.
Well, it would help if his receivers and tight ends would hold on to the ball, for God's sake.
Yeah, but Boomer, it's just not an offense that's going to score a lot of points and help their defense out sometimes. When I watch it, I just go, wow, these are training camp plays just almost every single time you watch them play and almost all the way through the game. And, yeah, we're going to rely on Russell Wilson's got to throw a moon ball for us to have a better chance to win.
And by the way, that's Arthur Smith, the creative coordinator of the Steelers.
Yes, I know who it is. And, yeah, when he was down in Tennessee, he was a different coach because he had Ryan Tannehill, who was a pocket passer. Plus, he could run a little, but they threw the football down the field, and they were very good at it for, quite a few years there, a couple years. I don't know how many. But, so much speculation. I don't know. I just thought about these things, and I brought it up because, it's going to be interesting to see who they hire.
If not Rex, then who do you think fits?
Well, Mike Vrabel would fit big time.
They're not going to get him.
Like you said, that's not going to happen. Ben Johnson, he's not coming here either, I don't think.
They're not even interviewing him.
They're not going to interview him.
So his representation has already said, yeah, thanks, but don't even bother. We're not coming. So it sounds like just reading Ben Johnson to Jacksonville. And I think that's a great spot for him. I think Jacksonville has a team that can turn it around right away next year. I think they have enough talent all across the board to get that done. Whatever happened down there, I think the biggest thing is they built up this great offensive line. I thought it was going to be special. And it wasn't even close to special. And it was really probably the number one thing that turned this team into what we have seen so far, or what we saw this past year.
I'm going to throw a couple names at you that have been attached to the Jets. You tell me if you think it fits or not. Aaron Glenn and Matt Nagy.
Aaron Glenn would fit just because he is personality and how he coaches. Look, I'm sorry about the Minnesota Vikings, and I'm not being funny either.
Yeah.
But Aaron Glenn And Boomer and I talked about this, that Aaron Glenn, even though they got all these extra players, all these players that are hurt, and they got this new defense out there, whatever, I said, he's going to be aggressive. And they were super aggressive against a really, really good receiving core for the Minnesota Vikings. And not only was it aggressive, it was really smart and creative and everything you'd want. And Aaron Glenn, there is a toughness, you know, when you watch him coach, watch you just watch their defense, watch what they are right now. And, you know, he's learned from a couple people, you know, and I think his biggest guy he probably learned from, of course, is Dan Campbell, and the other one's Bill Parcells. And, you know, he has a great presence, and he can control a football team. So if they take Aaron Glenn, if he becomes the head coach of the New York Jets, as a local fan and all that stuff, I would be very happy about
that.
You
know, I came in here Monday morning or Tuesday morning, and I was telling Gio after rewatching Sam Darnold play against the Detroit Lions, the word skittish came up.
You know what, Boomer? When you drop back, and, you know, I always love this to the coach, but I'll get into it. You drop back, and they hit you in the face. And then you drop back again, and they hit you in the face. And it just keeps going on. Well, are you going to drop back and think, well, this will be the time they protect me? So it really became that. And the other thing, and I think you're right there, he did become, I don't like the word skittish, but he did become that guy because he knew and had felt so much pressure. But the wide receivers for Minnesota, they did not do a great job of getting open for him either. And then when they were open, he had no time to throw the football. So it was a little bit of everything. And I just go this, the Detroit Lions were all over everything that the Minnesota Vikings were trying to do on the offensive side.
All right, let's do a little rapid fire wild card weekend, all right? So I'm going to give you a game. You tell me who you like. Chargers, Texans.
Well, I like the Chargers.
Okay.
Well, let me just say this. Great example. C.J. Stroud was great last year. Now, if he'd have had last year, we'd be going, oh, my God, he was second pick. He's whatever. So it just shows you how you look at it can really change. But sorry, Gio, go ahead. No,
the other two games here in between are big spreads. You like the Ravens and the Bills, I would imagine?
Yes, I think the Bills, this will be very interesting. Denver, they're a scary football team on both sides of the football. And Sean Payton, they have nothing to lose going up to Buffalo. Bo Nix has not been good for him. He has been great. And Sean Payton's done a good job getting that done. And what was the other game you talked about?
The Steelers and the Ravens. I'm assuming that you'd pick the Ravens in that one.
Oh, sure, I'll pick them. But the Steelers do know how to play them. That's interesting. And they got to start taking some chances and help the quarterback play a little better and give them more scoring opportunities. But their defense has kind of had Lamar Jackson's number, and they know how to play him, which is really interesting. They play really careful, or they're all out the other way. And I think that's kind of caught Baltimore off guard a little bit as they played each other this year.
All right, let's assume that Jalen Hurts plays, because it's a completely different discussion
if he
doesn't.
Is playing.
Yes, the Eagles,
of course.
Eagles hosting the Packers.
Well, what about the Packers? Is there anything yet about Jordan Love?
Nothing really, but it sounds like he's going to play. Christian Watson obviously is out tearing an ACL. That was a big loss for them. And a loss to the Bears at Lambeau last week, which was just absolutely disheartening. So I'm going Eagles all the way here.
Oh, yeah. You know, listen, Eagles on paper, they're right up there, either one or two to me, as the best teams talent-wise in the NFL. And for the Green Bay Packers, I'm not being funny here or anything, but Malik Willis, when he has come in the game for them this year, he's been really, really good every time he's played for the Green Bay Packers. And the one thing he does, I'm not saying he's Jordan Love, I'm not doing that, but, man, can he throw the ball with power, and he is a big-time threat running the football, too. So
could he be one of these guys that comes available in some way, shape, or form next year?
No, Green Bay is not going to let him go. Okay. Listen, if you watched him play, and I know it's preseason, you would go, who is that? And you go, oh, my God, that's Malik Willis. What happened? And he just transformed into this really good thrower, decision maker, everything. And he wanted out of Tennessee because they were going to make him the third quarterback. So he goes to Green Bay. And how does Tennessee feel about that now? I don't know. But, man, what Green Bay said, you got to play. He's answered the bell big time. No
All
doubt.
Right, Commanders, wow. Bucks.
Yep.
Commanders, Bucks. Well, first one to 40. How's that?
Okay.
Well, maybe 30, but, you know, both of these teams. It's Baker Mayfield's on fire, and the Tampa Bay defense, they gamble, they're just whatever. It's Jay Daniels could have a great day.
Yeah, should be fun. All right, and then the Vikings going out to L.A. to take on the Rams.
I like the Vikings there. I do. They got that extra day, which was really big, or, you know, playing on Monday. The Rams are very simple, in my opinion, on both sides of the football. I think Minnesota, I think they're one of the few teams that are in this position. They can make a run and win games. Yeah, of course, they could lose to the Rams, but the Rams win games really tight, really close. And this is a game I think Minnesota should win.
All right, Phil, great talking to you. We'll talk to you next week, and I'll see you next week.
All right, Gio. Look forward to seeing you. Thank you guys for having me on.
All right,
the great Phil Sims.
There
every Wednesday, 8 a.m., Phil Sims Spotlight, brought to you by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry is back. Doesn't have as much time because we were chatting it up with Phil, but he's got stuff for us. What's up, Jerry?
Well, good morning. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Beautiful outside if it wasn't like 8 degrees.
Not today. That can't be today.
There's leaves on the trees. Probably not.
Yeah, no
That's
way.
A very good point.
Man, they're just duping everybody again. Sports Network.
Do what you got to do. Yeah. Some of the football sound. Plan to get to last hour. We got a couple things here with, you know, obviously all the coaching stuff. There's not anything new other than I saw the Patriots will interview Vrabel on Thursday. So, which is what, tomorrow? Tomorrow. Saturday, you've got the Texans and the Chargers. Couple things here. Number one, D'Amico Ryans. So I guess there's this thought that the experts really think that L.A. is going to go out and win this game and beat Houston.
Everybody have an opinion about us one way or the other, but outside opinion really doesn't drive what we do here internally. Like, our guys put the work in, they know what we're about, we know what we're about,
and see if they can win that game.
So Justin, my whole thing about them, I'm sorry, Jerry, was whether or not CJ Stroud was going to check in back in, because he checked out after Tank Dell got hurt when they were playing the Kansas City Chiefs 3 weeks ago. And it was a significant injury. It was an ugly injury. And I remember Joe Mixon going over to CJ Stroud, consoling him on the bench in the middle of a game. And I came in the next morning and we were talking about this, saying how, you know, it's unfortunate that this happened to Tank Dell and it happened again. And it was an ugly injury. And I'm sure they're best friends. And I'm sure that took the air out of their offense because they didn't do anything the rest of that game against Kansas City. And then the next game they came out and they got blistered again. And it looked like C.J. Stroud was just not really into it. And hopefully he is now checked back in. And if he has, then they'll have a chance against the Chargers, of course. But the one thing I will say about Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert, the way they played last week, man, they put on a clinic, and Justin Herbert may have played one of his best games. So they are coming in hot.
And he has not checked out. And here is Herbert on his head coach, Jim Harbaugh.
I think one of the most things that I appreciate about him the most is just how genuine and authentic he is. He's himself, you know, 24 hours out of the day, and he does such a great job with that, and, you know, that's something that the guys really respect about him.
And he's also very forthcoming. He has no problem telling you when he's about to go on vacation.
Got in a rental car and drove up to Rancho Cucamonga.
Now, that was not a vacation. I mean, that was on a recruiting trip.
Is he still living in a
in a van by the river.
I thought he was living like in a motorhome.
He was for a while. I don't think anymore.
I don't know that he is anymore. Right. But yes.
Hopefully his house is not on fire.
I'll actually get to that in a moment with the Lakers. Saturday at 8, you've got the Ravens and the Steelers. Lamar Jackson knows critical to get it to move on.
We know it's at stake. You know, it's when to go home. Man, it's a team we're very familiar with. Great team at that. When you go home, you just lock down, dialed in.
And since it is the Steelers and it is the playoffs, Derrick Henry, does your mindset change at all?
It doesn't at all. I still got a job to do as regular season in the playoffs, but I think it's just, you know, we know it's at stake and we know what we got to do to get where we want to go.
You know, two things that came out of this press conference also yesterday, Lamar Jackson said he gets a little bit too hyped for these playoff games, so he's going to work on trying to just keep it real and keep it level. Essentially putting, you know, that kind of thought process towards the game. And the other one was Derrick Henry saying, man, don't think that Lamar Jackson deserves the MVP because of my year. He goes, I was able to do what I did because of Lamar. He goes, Lamar Jackson deserves the MVP. And he goes, I'm not taking anything away from Josh Allen or Joe Burrow or anybody else. But this is the reason I came here was to play with him because what he would do for me. And that's the sign of an MVP. And I appreciated the way that Derrick Henry spoke about both Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, his own teammate. And you should support your own teammate for MVP.
You got three games on Sunday, ending with the Commanders and the Bucks. Here was Todd Bowles yesterday. He was asked about Mike Evans. That was a big story, obviously, Sunday night and Monday morning, the incentive and the catch.
Not only did you get Mike the record, but the risk you took to get Mike the record. Was the heart beating a little fast in that situation for you, knowing that what was all at stake there?
No, I was just hoping it was complete, and, you know, I think Mike owes me $1 million.
Having some fun with that. Which
the first time he's ever been funny.
I was going to say, showed some personality. And then Monday night, you got the Vikings and the Rams. So Brian Flores obviously is rumored for a lot of these head coach vacancies. Here he was, the idea of getting interviews.
For me, it's the players that are number one, and, you know, I'm always going to work and do things with you know, their interests first. So yeah, I mean, you know, it's, you know, certainly an honor, but I'll be, my number one priority is, you know, getting this team ready or getting his defense ready to play against the Rams.
And that will take care of itself when indeed he has time to do it. Then there's Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think you guys referenced this earlier. He was on the Fitz and Wits podcast. His thought of Flores?
When people say, okay, give me somebody from Miami that coached under you as a reference so we can talk to them. I think he burned a lot of bridges there. I think he alienated himself from the entire staff. Instead of what you were just talking about, having the humility to ask questions, to collaborate, I think by the end of his time there, he became a dictator. He ruined a lot of those relationships.
But it does seem like he's a changed person.
You would hope that he would be, and that the second time around he would be different.
No, I actually think he'd be a terrible head coach and a dictator. He should stay as a defensive coordinator. Obviously, he cannot.
Yeah, you sure? Yes. Exactly. The last thing you want to see.
Head coach.
Yeah, that is so true. All right, NBA tonight, you've got a really big game between the Thunder and the Cavaliers because the Thunder put their 15-game winning streak on the line. The Cavaliers have won 10 in a row. Of course, Oklahoma City will play the Knicks after this on Friday night. Tonight, the Knicks are home for the Raptors. Remember Mike Breen had that little gaffe with
Curb Your Enthusiasm? Yeah.
Well, Tony Kornheiser obviously took note as he was doing and ending his show with Mike Wilbaum on ESPN.
I'm going to try and do better the next time. And a shout out to Mike Breen from the entire crew of Curb Your Interruption.
I'm Mike Wilbaum, same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now we love Mike Breen.
Yes, they do. Of course they do. So that was kind of funny. Nets Pistons tonight on the Fan at 7:20. The Hawks beat the Jazz with that crazy buzzer beater from Trae Young. Lakers lost to the Mavericks. But along the way here, LeBron James turning back the clock yet again. And, of course, it was Kevin Harlan on TNT.
Rebound hustling is Christie to the cutting James.
A left-handed dunk from LeBron down the lane. Oh, that is pretty good.
40 years old.
It's all my... Yeah, he said he thinks he could still play 5 to 7 years. I don't doubt him, but he's not going to.
He's a physical freak.
Yeah,
man.
He is. Yes, he is.
But now, the team stinks.
They're not bad. They're really not. I think they're sixth in the West. Well, I didn't say that, but they're not terrible. They did lose the game 118-97. more serious note would be what's going on out in Southern California. And here was J.J. Redick on the wildfires.
Just want to acknowledge and send thoughts and prayers to everyone in the Palisades right now. It's where I live, my family and my wife's family, my wife's twin sister. They've evacuated. I know that a lot of people are freaking out right now, including my family. And from the sound of things with the winds coming tonight, I know a lot of people are scared. So just want to acknowledge that, and thoughts and prayers for sure. And hope everybody stays safe.
And you are right. The video is terrifying.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Of what's going on there right now.
You know, it's about as brutal as that hurricane that hit North Carolina. Like, when you see what happened in North Carolina and you're seeing what's happening in these wildfires, you're like, you know, these people, their lives are being just absolutely destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah, their property, everything. St. John's beat Xavier 82-72 to improve to 13-3 on the season. Xavier 9-7, 1-4 in the Big East. Answer your question from last hour. Stars beat the Rangers after trailing 3-0. They win in overtime 5-4. The game winner from Jamie Benn. Here was Adam Fox trying to at least take some positives.
Yeah, I mean, a few. Start was good. But got to clean up a lot of those odd man rushes. And obviously also good to have the power play come through at a big time, which you know, we were missing the last few months.
And not give away the puck.
That's right. He's one of the highest paid players on the team. He needs to be more vocal. He needs to stand up straight. He needs to, you know, carry his weight, you know, during the games. Like, there are things that I could say about him too, that, you know, he hasn't lived up to that contract either. But still, they are a work in progress. They've added two more defensemen. They're playing with two, you know, glorified, you know, AHL players, you know, in the top six. So I don't know. It's a mess. It doesn't look like it's going to get any better. It's going to be interesting now because Jersey plays them, I think, tomorrow night.
Yeah, all three locals. Yeah, all three locals off tonight.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Happy for CeeLo. He got himself an endorsement. Did you hear that?
What kind of endorsement?
For his cyst removal.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. I just heard that commercial for the first time. Fleeks looked at me. Is this the first time you heard that? I'm like, yeah, it's actually the first time I heard it. Generally, I'm in tune with the commercials, but I guess this is a new 2025 commercial. And yeah, I guess he had a cyst on his tailbone. And the doctor that lanced this cyst or took care of this cyst did such a nice job that they're now an advertiser here. So got that thing taken care of.
What kind of cyst was it?
I believe it's called a pionidal cyst.
Okay, so I'm sure it's pretty. It's got to be something that happens quite a lot if he's doing
commercials for it.
It says it's a sac-like structure.
Sac-like structure? You tell me he had a sac hanging off his tailbone? Wow.
It says it's typically filled with hair, skin debris, and other materials.
So he's got two sacks.
Oh, he had two. Now he's got one. He had it removed.
Wait a second. Say that it's filled with hair?
It says it's a small sac-like structure that forms in the crease of the buttocks near the tailbone. It is typically filled with hair, skin debris, and other material.
Can it grow into a tail?
You know what's funny? I remember reading about this.
Where is CeeLo?
Years ago. And please? I think there's something about, like, there's a theory about these things.
Okay.
That, like, it's like at some point, like evolution, that's where the tail was. And in, like, some people, things start growing out of that, like a tail.
That's what I'm asking. That's what it sounds like.
Because you get it from prolonged sitting. Thick body hair.
Like, of all the stuff that CeeLo has had, like, if that's just one day popped out a tail, he's just walking around.
I don't want to make fun of this. I mean, but where is CeeLo available? Can you get him?
Oh, God.
We've reached out.
Oh, you have reached out. Okay. I mean, like, I didn't realize he had it. Good for him. He got an endorsement.
Hopefully he got an endorsement. And obviously, it's an issue. I mean, if I had a hair-filled sack hanging off my buttocks, I would want that thing removed properly as well. So I'm sure this is an issue for a lot of people, and I'm glad that they're advertising it.
It's a very serious issue, I'm sure.
Yeah. But, man, of course it's CeeLo. You know, guy's got every virus in the book. He's got eczema on his hands, and now he's got this sack. He's growing his tail. Yeah. I'd not heard that.
Don't make me choke on my smoothie.
Oh, sorry. It says drainage of fluid that may be clear, cloudy, bloody, or foul smelling.
Oh, come on. How big is it?
Oh, my God. There's a little drawing of it.
Okay. What was that? What was that face?
Look at you. Got to look it up. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
I don't want to look it up.
I hit images?
Hopefully, I mean, it's a serious thing that obviously has to be removed.
Oh, boy. Ooh. Did you hit images on this, Al? Oh, my God.
CeeLo is available.
Okay, good. Hey, CeeLo, what's happening?
Good morning, fellas. Sounds like I'm going to see you tomorrow now. So we could have done this in studio on the air.
Oh, okay. Ahead. Maybe you could show us your scar.
If you'd like to see my scar, I mean, I'll warn you, it's not pretty, but you certainly can take a look if you'd like.
Well, listen, we didn't realize that you had one of these things until we heard you got an endorsement for it. So congratulations.
Thank you. You know, of all the things to get an endorsement for, that I wouldn't have landed on that. But yeah, we were one of the mornings we were filling in for you guys. I believe it was the morning of July 4th. I was in with Jerry and I think Sal and Roscona was on the other side. And I forget how it even came up, but I started talking about it on the air. And lo and behold, a couple months later, got word that someone who runs a practice that handles these things happened to be listening and interested. And the next thing you know, here we are in 2025. And I've got a Pilon Idol cyst endorsement on the fan. How about that?
All right. So do you have this pus-filled hair sack hanging off your ass? Is that what was going on here?
I wouldn't say it was hanging off my ass. It was inside my, near my ass. And this is going back to when I was in college. I was like 19 years old. I had no idea what it was.
You had this sack on your butt for 20 years?
No. No.
Okay.
I discovered I had it when I was 19 and got it taken care of when I was 19.
Oh, what was the reason? How did you discover it? I mean, it's got to be hanging off your ass?
No. It's internal. It's not external. But it was just, I was very uncomfortable, right, sort of on the tailbone, base of the spine, and it was driving me crazy. So I had a chiropractor friend. I went to get checked out, and I explained to him what was bothering me. And he goes, I don't know for sure, but it sounds like you might have a Pilon Idol cyst. I had no idea what that was. So he referred me to a specialist, went and got it checked out. Sure enough, they diagnosed it. They originally told me it was about the size of a golf ball. And then when I went and had the surgery done, which I was awake for, I got a spinal tap, so I was numb from the waist down. They said, do you want to see it? And I said, yeah, sure. And it turned out it was more like the size of a grapefruit. It was the most disgusting thing I'd ever seen in my life. Yeah.
Wait a second. Yeah. This is the surgery you just had?
No.
That was back when you were 19. And the thing came back?
No, it didn't come back. If you listen to the commercial, it said I've experienced it before.
Oh, okay.
The reason it came up on the air July 4th was we were talking about something that I guess was semi-related.
I got it.
And right. I was like, hey, you know, I had that when I was a teenager. And the crazy part was I'd never talked about it on the air, and Roscona happened to be there that day running the board, and he had the exact same thing. So we're now comparing notes about this pus-filled cyst on the air, in morning drive, on the fan, on July 4th.
Right, so this is a pretty, I guess, regular thing for people out there. How many people suffer from these things?
I don't know an exact number, but yes, I would say it's not all that uncommon. I mean, look, you want to say how many out of 10 in their life? That's probably a lower number, but it's not like an extreme odds situation. In most cases, it's just an ingrown hair that becomes infected, and it's in a very awkward spot, obviously, which is what makes it kind of a, I'd say, invasive surgery and a bit of a lengthy recovery process, but it can be taken care of. And no, it has not come back for me. I have not had any issues since I had it taken care of, which is why I think, you know, endorsing the procedure makes a lot of sense.
So you say they pull it out. It's the size of a grapefruit.
Mine was, yeah.
What does it look like outside of the size of it? What color is it? The consistency? Does it smell?
Yeah, it's all of that. It's probably like a creamy white, like an opaque, maybe like a cream color, and it's pussy. It's got would hairs say, coming
would you
out
say
of
like
it.
Hairs coming out
would
of
you
it?
You say like melon-like?
Yeah, like little hair follicles, yeah.
Is it like melon-like?
Yeah, I think melon-like would be a good description. Like I said, mine was like grapefruit size-esque, which kind of has when it has a little bit of a big melon consistency.
Like
to
a
it.
Honeydew melon, that kind
of
color.
Yeah, mine wasn't quite that big, but if you think of the size of a grapefruit before you take the skin off, it was along those lines.
I'm doing some research on this. There are some people who feel that it was the remnants of a twin that never formed.
That I never heard, but okay, interesting.
Oh my God, that's the most depressing thing ever. If that is the case, CeeLo had a brother that just ended up being a grapefruit-sized bus ball.
Yeah.
That is horrible.
Let me tell you guys, someone tweeted me.
Oh.
When you're 19 and, you know, in the summer between freshman and sophomore year of college, this is the exact type of thing you want to deal with, let me tell you.
Wow. Golly. Did they slice it open after they pulled it out and was there anything else in there? Like a nose or something?
Yeah, that part I did not see. I'm thankful that I have the memory of it because I will say while I was conscious, the spinal tap, you know, I wasn't exactly like 100% with it, but I do remember being on the table and getting a look at it. After that, everything is a little fuzzy, and I did, I think, pass out in like the recovery room for a little while, but I do remember getting a look at it.